Blog Talk Radio.
We're going across the pond, and we're going to be hosted by
our UK chapter there, and more information will be coming on that, but just wanted to let you know that 2 years from now, that's where it's going to be, in the UK, in Birmingham, as a matter of fact. The dates, I think, is April 18 and 19. April 18 and 19. So, if I may have misquoted the dates, but check our website, societyofei.org. Go to the conference page. And after you've finished looking at all of the great photos from the conference that's on the conference page, just scroll down to the very bottom of the page, the bottom of where those photos are, and you'll see the dates for the 2021 conference. So that's one of the things that's coming up. We are proud. It's the first time we will have moved the conference outside the U.S., and we're looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to take a little while to probably build up the sponsors and get everything put together, but that's what it's all about. And effective July 1, we will be known as Society of Emotional Intelligence International. Society of Emotional Intelligence International. Nothing else is going to change. You won't notice any change in membership. You won't notice any change in the logo. The only difference will be that we will be SOEI International. So those are a couple of things that's coming up, and I just wanted to alert you to those things sort of right at the top of the hour there, and then suggest that, you know, you stay tuned either to the show or visit our website on a regular basis, societyofei.org, and check for, you know, upcoming and new information about that, as well as information on some of the other things that we're doing. For instance, July 18 and 19, we'll be doing a two-day EQI 2.0 certification in Orlando. The EQI 2.0 certification in Orlando. So those of you that are interested in getting certified and haven't gotten certified or want to know what that's all about, again, go to the website, societyofei.org. On the training and certification page, the training and certification link, you can find out more about the certification and how to get registered for that. Well, so those are some of the things that's coming up. So let's take a look and see what's going to be happening here in the next few minutes. Well, in the next few minutes, we're going to have Julie Friesen and Kate Glasson. They're going to be our guests today, and they have an interesting topic that they're going to be sharing with us. I say it's interesting. It's certainly interesting to me. Hope it'll be interesting to you as well. I shortened the title to the Rekindle Initiative, but really it's much, much larger than that. But what I'm suggesting is that, hey, if you're just tuning in, hey, get your coffee, get your soft drink, get your hamburger, whatever it is that you're having, join us for lunch and find out more about the Rekindle Initiative. And let me check in and see if our guests are with us at this time. Let me see. Good morning. This is Dr. Hank. Julie, Kate, are you there? This is Dr. Hank. Do I hear Julie or Kate? Well, they haven't rang in yet, so we'll just give them a few minutes. I know they're on their way. It's like anything, you know, sometimes it takes a few minutes for people to log in and clock in. But they're going to be sharing some information. I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to extend the information on the topic that I gave you. I said that the topic was the Rekindle Initiative. If I extend it, it's using relationship building to encourage belonging with 2LGBTQ+ and straight older adults in senior residencies. Now, that is interesting, and I certainly want to hear more about that. If you had a chance to kind of read the rest of the information about it, it's about the Rekindle Initiative, and it highlights and explores the reality that the 2LBGTQ+ older adult choose to not identify as 2LBGTQ+ as they enter retirement homes and long-term care facilities due to fear of reprisal and discrimination. Now, we know that anyone that is considered outside of the mainstream, they're going to encounter some type of discrimination or some type of, you know, resentment or whatever. And to hear that that is happening with the 2LBGTQ community is really not surprising. But I want to know more about what they're doing to sort of, and I'm going to use the term resolve or to address those kinds of issues. So we'll be going on to find out more about that. So the Community Justice Initiative, the CJA, and Spectrum's Aging with Pride Committee, they're located in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, are working collaboratively with two older adult housing providers to create gender sexuality alliances. And this is similar to school gay straight alliances within the older adult residences. The project is also providing support to these institutions to create 2LBGTQ+ inclusive policies and practices within their organizations. Now, the vision of this project is that there is housing for older adults that is welcoming and anti-oppressive, and that changes are made on a resident and system-wide level. Impacts that we hope that the project will include that 2LBGTQ older adults begin to feel safe, disclosing who they are, and that non-LBGT community older adults will be their allies. Other impacts will be that older adult housing providers will be welcoming and inclusive. And I think that is a fantastic initiative. And as I mentioned earlier, any initiative requires work. And I'm sure that this one is going to require quite a bit of work. Let me just check in again and see if either Julie or Kate is with us. This is Dr. Hank with the Dr. Hank Show. Julie, are you there? Kate? Kate Glasson hasn't called in yet. Okay. Well, we'll give them time. You know, one of the things is when you're as far away as they are, and we were talking about there in Ontario, Canada, sometimes there's a time lag. And if there's a time lag, then those are the kinds of things that you sometimes expect to happen. Well, let's talk about SOEI some more and some of the things that's going on with SOEI. I don't know if any of you are readers or subscribed to LinkedIn. I posted an article on LinkedIn yesterday titled Becoming EQ Savvy. And not just becoming EQ savvy, but using the concept of an equalizer to be able to apply and learn more and stretch or adjust your emotional intelligence. Now, I know most of you are thinking, what on earth is he talking about? And he's talking about an equalizer. Well, in the article, I mentioned, you know, you're driving your car, you know, along, and you hear this song. One of your favorite songs comes on. And you're listening to this song and you say, wow, this is one of my favorite songs, but it doesn't sound as good as it does when you hear it at home. And so you ask yourself the question, why doesn't this song sound as good here in my car as it does when I'm at home? Well, most people say, well, it's the acoustics. And they would be right. It is the acoustics. Well, but you can adjust for that. You can adjust for that. Now, you can't move the seats around in the car. So you can't just switch seats and say, well, I get a better seat so that I'll get better acoustics. So you can't do that because you're driving, right? And you can't move the speakers. You can't shift the speakers around because, you know, they're bolted to the doors and they're bolted to the trunk and they're bolted to wherever they are, you know, in your vehicle. So you can't move the speakers around. But what you can do on most vehicles, on your radio, you have what is called an equalizer. And most people have probably used the equalizer on their radio or CD player or whatever it is that you listen to your song on. Most people have adjusted the treble and they've adjusted the bass. That is, they've turned those knobs where they've increased the bass and they've increased the treble, okay? So that is called an equalizer. Now, in most vehicles, you have at least two ranges where you can turn them all the way up so that the bass is really, really heavy, or you can turn the treble all the way up so that, you know, things like cymbals and things that play high notes like a trumpet or something like that, if you will, are really sharp, okay? Or you can turn them all the way down so that, you know, the bass is very, very muted, you know? So instead of giving a big thump, thump, thump for bass, it's a sort of like a soft thump, thump, thump. Okay. So that's the equalizer. Now, in most cars, you only have those two where you can go up or down with the bass and treble. Now, on some vehicles, they have a built-in equalizer that allows them to make even more changes so that the changes can be in between all of those ranges. And if they're in between all of those ranges, it certainly gives you more to work with, okay? And so you can do the same thing with your emotional intelligence. In other words, let's say empathy as an example. You don't necessarily want to be high in empathy because if you're too high in empathy, it may have an adverse impact on people that you're being empathic with, okay? Or if you're too low on empathy, it may not be effective. So you may have to adjust your equalizer, your EQ, equalizer, so that you're displaying just the right amount of empathy, okay? And in most emotional intelligence models, there are a lot of different ranges or subscales that you can adjust, whether it's assertiveness or whether it's empathy or whether it's social responsibility. You don't have to be high. You just have to be at the right level, okay? So that was one of the articles that I posted in LinkedIn. If you get a chance, click on LinkedIn on your computer. Go in and see if you can pull up that article by Dr. Hank Clemens. Okay, Dr. let's Hank. Check in and see if we have our guest with us. I had Dr. said Hank. That our guest today was going to be Julie and Kate. Let's see who's here. Good morning. This is Dr. Hank. I've been chatting, waiting for Julie and Kate to come aboard. Who do I
That's
have
who
this
we
morning?
Are. That's it. They're on the
oh.
line.
Oh, fantastic.
Sorry, there were some technical difficulties with the phone, so.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. The thing is, you're here.
We are here.
Well, I was sharing with the listeners that I had shortened the topic that you had given me to the Rekindle Initiative, but it was much greater than that. So I'm going to kind of have each one of you introduce yourself and give us a little of your background, and then we'll start talking about what it is that you guys are working on or doing. Is that okay?
That sounds good.
Great.
Okay, so my name is Julie, you're first up.
Sure. My name is Julie Friesen, and I'm the director of programs of an organization called Community Justice Initiatives in Waterloo Region, Ontario of Canada. And we're a restorative practice-based organization. So we do lots of community initiatives using restorative justice and restorative practice.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Kate Glasson. I'm the president of Spectrum, which is an LGBT community center here in KW.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So when I was reading the information that you guys had sent me, and I was just, one, I was really excited because I want to hear more about, you know, what you're doing, but more importantly, not just what you're doing, but why you're doing it, okay? So I'm going to jump in, and I got lots of questions. I hope you don't mind if I just start, you know, throwing some questions your way, you know. So what is the Rekindled Project? I mean, if I just came in from Mars, sometimes people think I'm from Mars anyway because I'm kind of strange. So I just came in from Mars, and I saw some people with a placard or a sign that says the Rekindle Initiative. What would I find out?
If we had to put it in 10 words or less, it's GSA in an old folks home.
GSA,
a Gay Straight Alliance. Like they have in high school.
Oh, GSA. Well, see, I'm just from Mars, and so when you give me these acronyms or letters, I'm saying, you know, what does that one mean? Okay.
Yeah.
GSA.
So in 10 words or less, it's a Gay Straight Alliance in a seniors home.
Wow. That is amazing just within itself, because typically, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but I'm probably speaking for a large percent of the population, we generally don't think about, you know, gay, straight, or we think straights when we think seniors. We don't necessarily think gays, I don't think.
Yeah, we had the same problem. In fact, it took us a while to get used to the idea. With our Aging with Pride committee at Spectrum, we've been working on this for 3 or 4 years. The Aging with Pride stuff. So it takes us a while to get people used to the idea that yes, we in fact do age well enough to get into our senior years.
You know, the saying,
yeah.
The saying goes,
what
we all age if we live long enough, right?
Yeah.
What folks don't realize, I think, this is a sort of a hidden issue for our communities, is that, and certainly we at Community Justice Initiatives, you know, until we started partnering with Spectrum and talking to older adults who identify as two-spirited, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer, you know, this idea that folks are hiding who they are as they go into older adult housing because they fear reprisal and discrimination in their treatment and as other residents or even with staff, right? This is a hidden issue in our community.
Yeah, it's mostly the other residents that I think they're most afraid of, because they're the same people who abused them when they were growing up, or they could be the same people, if you follow me.
Yeah, that's right. And so it just continues on into adulthood and then seniorhood, I call it.
Exactly.
Wow. So what brought this on? What, you know, how did your agency's partnership begin?
Well, we've been partnering, I guess, for, three or four years.
Yeah. And from CJI's perspective, from Community Justice Initiative's perspective, we were confronted. We do sort of conflict resolution in the community, and we were given a couple of referrals that were from Rainbow folks in the community. One especially was a person, two gay men who had been living together, and then they were needing to move into older adult housing, and the power of attorney of one of them really never recognized that relationship. And so when it was time to move them, they moved them really out of the community to closer to where this person was living and really split these folks up. And so what we generally do when we help people resolve conflict is we look at who needs to be involved, and sometimes it's community services. And it was a really natural one for us to reach out to Spectrum, who has a great, great services in our community. And that's sort of how we met each other. And then the possibilities kept expanding around ways we could connect together. So.
Okay, I'm going to go over to Kate. Kate, from your side of the fence, what was your need?
Well, we started from the place where we found out that people going into these homes are going back in the closet, and that's not healthy for anyone. So we wanted to make sure that we could come up with some sort of method by which people could have enough support in a place that they could safely be out. And one of the obstacles we saw to that is that when people would be treated badly, we didn't have the resources for how to mediate those situations, which CJI does. So they're a perfect partner for this circumstance for us.
Okay. Wow. It sounds like it was one of those marriages that were just waiting to happen, huh?
That's right.
Now, I have just tons more questions. I'm just trying to fashion them so that I don't sound like I have no idea what I'm talking about, and I probably don't have any idea what
okay.
I'm talking
That's
about.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with not knowing.
Because this is educational for me, very, very, very much so. And you don't have to be exact in these numbers or anything like that. But so when we're talking about this population, what do you think percent wise or you exist? Just
yeah, that's a good question, and we never really have found really great numbers yet, because even Canada includes LGBT people in our census, but only the last census, the 2010 one, did, and
mm-hmm.
not everybody was willing to speak up. So they only found something like 58,000 same-sex households in Canada, which is pretty low. A recent study in the U.S., a longitudinal study at high school, found that approximately 10% of kids identified as gay or trans in some manner, and 2% of them identified somewhere on the trans spectrum, so non-binary or trans or who knows what variation,
mm-hmm.
but in some way non-gender, sort of non-gender conforming.
So then if I ask the question, is it a large enough community to invest resources in, what would your response be? Or it doesn't matter about the size of the community then?
Well, it does to some extent, because, you know, we pay taxes the same as everybody else, so
right.
you know, we should expect our government to support us in the same way.
Sure.
But I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah, so it's obviously for example, in the programming that we have been doing in the older adult housing, so we've been doing these groups every 2 weeks. We are going in and doing these what we call rekindle group, which is that sort of idea of that gay straight alliance. So we get together, we have fun together, and it's gay folks, it's straight folks, it's non-conforming folks all together, and it's meeting with a relationship. When we go around our circle and we talk about what we know about this, what we feel about this, it's amazing how many stories that people tell of folks who are important to them, who are part of this community. So either themselves, their grandchild, their sibling,
mm-hmm.
and these aren't folks who maybe have lived this way as well. They have hidden who they are for a while. But what I would say is that we've been touched. A lot of us have been touched by this population. The fact that people are not what they are. able to be who they are in their own homes, or that they feel like they are not being treated with equity when home care comes to their house. They say, they know that they don't want to bathe me. Like, this is the kind of experiences that people are having. And we're looking at how to impact this on a larger level as well, but we're also looking to impact this on a relationship level. When we meet people who are different than us, and we get to know them, and we build connections with them, and we share stories with them, and we find out that even though we are have differences, we also have a lot in common. That's when I think we really understand this is something that we need to pay attention to, and this is an issue that we need to care about because of these experiences that people are having.
Yeah. I mean, we have this cohort here of the next 40 years or so. People my age, I'm 52, people my age and older who grew up in a time when, you know, I was alive when it was still illegal to be gay in this country until 1969.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, there's people who are older than me grew up and were adults during that time and suffered. And a lot of them did. And so it's, we have this cohort, this 40 years or so of people to come who are going to age into their senior years and came up through that sort of traumatic time. And what we're trying to do is make life a little easier for them.
Yeah, that is fantastic. No, and, you know, I had asked the question, is the population significant enough to invest resources in? And for me, if the population is a population of two or a population of one, that's large enough to invest resources in, because anyone that, you know, is harmed or anyone that does not receive equal treatment or aren't treated the same, we need to be addressing, or it needs to be addressed in some way or another. So I guess my question is somewhat rhetorical to me, because I personally feel that, you know, there is a need. It's just amazing that you guys were able to, and I'm going to say find the need, but let me say brave enough to address the need, because I'm sure there's been pushback, or maybe not. What kind of pushback have you experienced with this?
Well, we're doing it at two different facilities. One of them is a paid retirement home where the inhabitants pay to stay there.
Okay.
And the other is in a public housing seniors building. So they're very different environments, filled with very different people. In the seniors home, the paid one, they have been very supportive. The person who runs it is an out gay man. They have several gay staff members, and they've been incredibly supportive of the whole project. And in fact, later today, we're going there to raise the pride flag outside the facility. With the other place, things have been a little more difficult. There's a bit more of an entrenched culture there, and shifting it has been a little more difficult. We're having some success, but it's been a little more difficult to shift.
So let's say, hypothetically, this is the first meeting that you're coming to a facility. What would one expect?
So if we're attending the group, like, what does the group look like?
Right.
Yeah, sure. So we're very welcoming. We sit in a circle together, and what we who we bring to this are folks who identify as straight and folks who identify in all parts of the spectrum, and we welcome folks in, and then we all sit down together, start chatting sort of informally before we begin, and then we sort of have a bit of a ritual beginning, I guess, for lack of a better word. What we do is we sing Over the Rainbow with help from Judy Garland. And we talk about that song as being important, as a lot of the folks in the LGBTQ community really see the song and Judy Garland herself as a real champion of them. So we talk about why that song is important. And then we talk about the rainbow flag. So we have a rainbow flag posted there. And then what we do is we go around in a circle and we introduce and connect with each other. And then usually we do something really to build connections with each other. So we've done all sorts of things. Sometimes it's a craft that we do together and then talk about that. We have listened to folks' stories. Kate has shared her story in that group, and we really then share our own stories with her. It's about finding ways to build connections and doing that in really informal ways that allow all of us to share our wisdom with each other and to build connections with each other. And then we usually close together with how we thought about that, what that felt to us. We're talking about how to be an ally. We're hoping to maybe this group might live past us helping them and sort of keep on going on in perpetuity as they continue on. Kate, what do you think?
I think it's gone amazingly well. I'm really pleased with the way the group has been set up. We've really relied on CJI's facilitation for that. We have made sure that as Spectrum, we've provided members of the community. So we have probably three or four outside members of the community who attend every meeting. And it's just the idea mostly is sort of our meta idea is just to get them used to being around out gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people in that cohort haven't spent a lot of time around out gay people. And what we find, I mean, as with any kind of prejudice, knowing people makes all the difference.
It sure does. It sure does. So what impacts are you beginning to see from the work that you're doing, let's say, as Rekindle?
Well, one couple in the seniors' home had recently came out to the facility. They had been living together, two women, I think 65 years, and they had moved into
the
facility.
Wow. 65
years together.
And unfortunately, one of them passed recently, and the facility was really, the people in the facility were really comforting to her partner and really, you know, accepted her and you know, shared her grief. And
mm-hmm.
just felt like a really welcoming and accepting thing, and that's really positive. We also have had several people who have come for tours of the place. They've heard about this project going on. Members of my community have gone into the place to have a look around and see if it suits them, and
mm-hmm.
they're finding out about this group and finding it a positive thing.
We've also heard from the residents this is our ninth session together so far, and
okay.
what we continually hear is them talk, use language a little bit differently around using partner, knowing that opens up to this idea that there can be other types of relationships when they talk about their partners, sharing stories
mm-hmm.
about people who are important to them. And thinking differently around how people, they might have always said, oh, I would have always been welcoming to someone from the LGBTQ+ community. But how can you intentionally show that? You have to demonstrate that. And so folks have said, oh, now, you know, we know why this is important to hang the pride flag. We know that it's important to actually be actively open to show that we're welcoming. People... they look for these signs that you are welcoming, and the residents are getting that, really getting that. So as we continue to move through those nine sessions, they truly are becoming allies in that gay-straight alliance idea. And so I think this is a really transformative moment for these these older adult housings, that they're going to be seen, I think, models for the rest of our community to be inclusive and welcoming, intentionally doing that.
And these are all people in their 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, young people here. They're people who that we have often written off as being unable to learn better. And yet we're finding that they're perfectly capable of learning better.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, if I knew better, I'd do better. Maybe that's one of the things that's happening, you know, is they begin to know and understand, you know, they begin to accept and recognize the impact and is much more open and embracing. My question is it sort of like spilling over to, let's say, other communities that's not a part of the two units that you're dealing with? Maybe somebody's hearing about it from the outside and they want to attend a meeting and then taking it back, and there's some spillover, if you will?
Yeah, we've actually had interest from people literally across Canada and across Europe as well. I went to the conference in Amsterdam in April for LGBTQ seniors, and it was quite amazing the number of people who were really interested in this idea and want more information on how we did it so that they can implement it locally. And we're talking people from Greece, from Switzerland, from Slovakia, from Netherlands, everywhere across Europe, and across Canada as well. So it's an exciting prospect, and we're looking forward to coming up with a book out of the process to sort of explain what we've done and what worked and what didn't work. And hopefully other people will be able to use that to spread the model around.
Wow. So you guys are like blazing a trail.
That's what we're trying to
what
do.
You're doing. Yeah, yeah. I understand and I applaud you for doing so. I mean, it's just, you know, and you're here today talking about it, you know, and hopefully one of the things that will happen with NAFCM is, you know, they pick up the information and continue to spread it. You know, it goes out to a lot of the other, you know, communities that NAFCM serves. And in addition, because when I'm hearing this, you know, I'm thinking about it from the standpoint of our organization, Society of Emotional Intelligence. That would be one area that would be of interest to us. We don't think about it, but we do know that emotional intelligence continues to grow as people age, as long as they stay engaged, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening to it, and I have to apologize because I'm listening to it with two ears, you know. my other ear is around the Society of Emotional Intelligence and the role that, you know, that we could play in having that as a part of, you know, a meeting or a part of a conference or and continue to spread the word or share the information, because, you know, seniors are often looked at as not being a part of the mainstream. At some point, you know, they are no longer a part of the daily conversation or the daily, you know, discussions and I just feel that is so unfair. Maybe it's because I'm getting to be one of those, but
same here.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean,
I'm
that's what we always say, that we're doing this out of selfish. I'm 52 now. It's only going to be a few years before I'm going to need somewhere to be, and you know, I don't want to be my home.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, you know, if I'm speaking from both sides, I'm trying to find out and trying to hear, you know, how, you know, something like this could be integrated into a discussion at one of our meetings and things like that, because it is, to me, it's something that we need to hear, or certainly others need to hear, and hearing it then starts to open up the ears to be willing to embrace or discuss the issues, or, you know, so.
Yeah, there's a cross-sectionality, too. Like, when CJI started getting into the business of making sure our service was really geared towards older adults and older adults' needs, you know, there's ways in which our services don't serve that the older adult population well,
mm-hmm.
that we forget about them. And then there's a cross-sectionality here where folks who are also experiencing discrimination and marginalization from our communities based upon their gender and sexual identity, and they're an older adult, it's like a double whammy with that.
A triple whammy.
Yeah, exactly. So we, you know, our own agency, we've been asking ourselves hard questions too, right? How welcoming are we, and how are we intentionally showing that? So it's been a really amazing journey for us, just as our own identity as an organization, that one of the things we do is community mediation, right? Like, and our partnership with Spectrum has really allowed us, they've sort of vouched for us in their community, which has really made all the difference. And we want to make sure we're going to work to keep that, you know, that reputation that hopefully they've given us. So we've had these sort of conversations internally as well. So it's been a really great journey.
Well, you know, we always, you know, whatever we are doing today, you know, we generally hope that it has some impact on the future. So in your case, both Julie, Kate, what are your hopes for the future?
For me, I would like to see this model spreading. I'd like to see this being used all over the place. I want this to get around, because I think it's a really good setup, and I think it's really working. And I think that the more people doing it, the more chances there are that we'll find the very best ways to do it, and that can only be a good thing. So that's my big hope, is that it spreads all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, I think my hope is numerous. I think that I hope our partnership with Spectrum lasts a long time. And I, too, hope that people take this idea of that we can't undersell this idea of what happens when people get to know each other. And I think that sometimes we think, oh, that's just people talking, right? But what we understand is the magic and the power of that. When people build connections, when people share stories with each other, when people see each other, that really gives people a perspective, a way to walk with someone for a while. And that can change actually how we think about something. I think I read somewhere there's a study where we try to change people's minds with statistics and research. And all those things are really good. We should fund research and do those sorts of things. But what has been shown is that doesn't actually change people's mindsets. What changed people's mindsets is sharing a story with someone, getting to know someone. As Kate said, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And we believe that is the way that we can break down barriers between people. And that's in a lot of different ways. And in this way, the barrier is around, you know, people's gender and sexual identity, that you can ask questions, that you can get to know someone, that you can be friends with someone, that you can hold hands with someone who is a lesbian and you're not, and that's okay. And we've had all those things happen in our groups. And that to me, is the quiet revolution that changes things. And I think we just have to keep being vigilant about this. I think we have heard some distressing stories recently around, in the news, around some rights being taken away from folks again. And we need to continue to be vigilant that so that people can be who they want to be and express themselves in a way without being harmed because of who they are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's a couple of ways for information to get out, and one is, you know, through the media and the airwaves and so forth, and another is through print media. So if people want to find out more about what you guys are doing or what is being done there, how would they get more information?
Well, if they want to contact us at Spectrum, I answer all the emails there. We're just a volunteer-run organization. So that would be info@ourspectrum.com. That's OURspectrum.com. And we'd be happy to answer any emails we get.
And at CJI, we are similar, info@cjiwr.com. And those emails all get to us.
Well, that's fantastic, and let me share my email with both of you. It's Hank Clemons, HANKCLEMONS, @gmail.com. And if you guys have a brochure or something like that, or, you know, or a marketing piece or whatever, I'd appreciate receiving something because I'd like to share it with our community or the community of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, because I believe that that's another way to get the information out about what you guys are doing. You know, I've bought into it. You were talking about some people hear statistics and they say that's what changes. I'm a firm believer that it's emotions that has the biggest impact, and
yes,
we are emotional beings long before we are logical beings.
All of our groups, we certainly help people have the head, but it's also about the heart in our group.
Yes.
So it's about sharing from the heart with each other, and so we agree, emotions are important.
Absolutely. So I'd like to help in spreading the word or getting it out as much as possible also. So if you'll send me something, I'll be more than happy to share it. Any last comments before I let you guys go back to work? I know you've just been sitting here drinking coffee and having a good old time.
I did want to say that Rekindle, we came up with this name because partly because we wanted to, we included the word kin in the middle of it, so that, because so many people in my community have lost their family, they're estranged from their family.
Okay.
And because of that, what we do is we tend to form what we call chosen family, which are sort of people that you love that are around you and are there for you in the way that family would be, except
okay,
that they're not related. And so we wanted to emphasize that the Rekindle group could be, in effect, a chosen family for somebody new coming into the place. That there would be a chosen family in place for them when they arrived.
Wow. So that family would already be there and is there to welcome them. You know, they're part
exactly
of that family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we all long for that those connections, right? And we all need those as human beings.
We all want to belong. We all want to belong. Absolutely. You know, there are very few people who don't want to belong.
That's right.
We do want to belong. So I'd like to say, Kate, Julie, thank you both very, very much for taking time out of your schedule today to be on the show. Just really enjoyed chatting with you, hearing about all the wonderful things that you're doing. I'd like to give you an opportunity to maybe have a parting word or a parting statement or phrase that you'd like to make to our listeners.
Just be nice to the queer people in your life. That's all I ever ask of people, is just be nice. That's all we ever want. We just want to live our lives people be nice to us.
Okay,
kindness.
Julie?
I just want to encourage people, I think, to find those connections in our lives and challenge ourselves to meet people who we may not always have in our immediate sphere. So challenge us to really build connections with folks and to open ourselves, I think, to new experiences and new adventures.
Well, thank you both very much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it, you know, and I'm just going to check and see if there's anyone that has a comment or thought that they'd like to share. If so, please do. You can call in. We have a couple of minutes left. The number to call would be 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. Any comments from anyone that may be listening? Well, it sounds like everyone
Hello?
Is. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, it's John Seltzer here from East Tennessee. I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
You got a minute. I'm a true believer in you guys' approach that stresses the power of getting to know you, and I thank you for sharing your story. I want to be mindful of people's privacy, especially in the marginalized communities that often feel threatened, such as the LGBTQ+ communities. And I would appreciate help knowing what's the best way for those of us, for example, in the community mediation world, to connect with this population and to actually find this community in a way that doesn't feel threatening to them. And we here in Tennessee need to be mindful of the challenging, sometimes closed-minded population we live with.
Okay.
Sure.
My
strong suggestion would be to find a community that's already there. People will make their own communities. They may not be very big or very public, but they're there. So, you know, if there are any pride organizations in your area, if there are any, you know, lesbian hiking groups or anything like that, just making contact with them and letting them know that you're there and you'd be interested in working with them is really the best approach that I could suggest.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Kate, Julie, thank you both very much. And our caller from Tennessee, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it. Please, everyone, enjoy your day. Be nice. Be kind. Be, what was the other one, Kate?
Open to adventure.
Yeah.
Open to adventure. Be open to adventure. Thanks all for being with us today, and I really appreciate it. Please go out and have what I call an emotionally intelligent day.
Thank you very much for having
us. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You're listening to the Dr. Hank Show. I'm Dr. Hank. We just had a great, 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 great conversation with two really, really sharp individuals, in addition to a caller from Tennessee who had some questions, you know, because when we were talking about the two LGBTQ+ communities, they're everywhere. And so they, like everyone, is looking to connect. And we heard from Kate, the Rekindle initiative is one, but there are other initiatives that are probably underway or can be formed. So please see if you can reach them. If you missed a lot of the show, you'll be able to hear the show again in about an hour or so. So this is Dr. Hank saying thanks for being with us. Really appreciate it. Please, everyone, go out and have an EI day.